Thank you, Cody. Good morning, everyone. You're in your car driving home. Your thoughts wander to the game that you want to see or the meal you want to eat, when suddenly a sound unlike any you've ever heard fills the air. The sound is high above you. Is it a trumpet? A choir? A choir of trumpets. You don't know, but you want to know. So you pull over, get out of your car, and look up. As you do, you see that you are not the only curious one, because the side of the road has become a parking lot. Cars are open. Car doors are open. People are staring at the sky. Across the street, people are racing out of the grocery store. Down the street, a little league ball game has come to a halt. Players and parents are searching the clouds. And what they see and what you see has never before been seen. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part. A brilliant light spills onto the earth, but there are no shadows. None. From where came the light begins to tumble a river of color, spiking crystals of every hue ever seen, and a million more never seen. Riding on the flow is an endless fleet of angels. They pass through the curtains one myriad at a time until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north, south, east, and west. Thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in unison, and over the sound of the trumpets you can hear chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver-bearded elders and a multitude of souls who join the angels in worship. Presently, the movement stops and the trumpets are silent, leaving only one triumphant triplet. Holy, holy, holy. Between each word is a pause, with each word a profound reverence. You hear your voice join in the chorus. You don't know why you say the words. You only know that you must. Suddenly the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. The angels turn. You turn. The entire world turns, and there he is. Jesus Christ. Through waves of light you see the silhouetted figure of Christ the King atop a billowing cloud. He opens his mouth and you are surrounded by his declaration, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The angels bow their heads, the elders remove their crowns. And before you is a figure so consuming that you know, instantly you know, that nothing else matters. Forget stock markets, board meetings, school reports, sales meetings, football games. Nothing is newsworthy. All that mattered matters no more, for Christ has come. Isn't that cool? Isn't there some really good writing in that? I think that is so neat. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part. Can you picture that? That's really neat. Rivers of color. Of every hue ever seen, and some and millions not seen. You think God has colors in heaven that we haven't seen? What does that bring to mind to you? It's hard to grasp, isn't it? My guess is he probably does, but we don't know. Don't know for sure. Can't prove it. That didn't have anything to do with my talk. I just thought it was so neat I had to read it to you. No, it does have something to do with my talk. Cody read, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Cody read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." This little thing here says, and I want you to remember those two as we go through here, and I want you to remember this. All that mattered matters no more. All that mattered matters no more. What matters to you? Money? World peace? Did you ever see a movie called Miss Congeniality? You know, the cliche is that the contestants want world peace. She says in the end, I really do want world peace. Family, what matters to you? I've got another little story here that we're going to go through. It's called Satan's Meeting. In Satan's meeting, his opening address, in that he said, we won't keep Christians from going to church. We won't keep them from reading their Bibles. We may not be able to keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. So we'll let them go to church. We'll let them have their covered dinners. But what we will steal from them is their time. So they don't have time to develop a relationship with Christ. This is what I want you to do, says the devil. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining a vital connection throughout their day. The demon says, how do we do this? We keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. We will tempt them to spend, 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 and borrow, borrow, borrow. Are we spending, spending, spending? Have you been watching the stock market lately? What's going on with the stock market? What's it doing? Why? Going down. Have you read the main reason? Mortgage banking. Is that not right? Isn't that what they've... There's more than one reason. And what did the mortgage banking industry have to do with it? They've made loans so attractive, so easy to get, and so affordable that many, many people have bought houses they can't afford. And the foreclosures are causing a shortage of money now. The mortgage bankers don't have the money that they need to operate. One of them, I think, didn't one of them file bankruptcy? I think one of them did, maybe more. And there are two or three more in trouble. Because people have spent, 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 and borrowed, borrowed, borrowed. Get people to buy, even if they can't afford it. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours, and the husbands to work 6 or 7 days each week, 10 or 12 hours a day, so that they can afford their empty lifestyles. Now, I'm not going to say it's not wrong to work hard, and I'll get to that. So don't think, oh, Mike Warner's up here saying we shouldn't work, you know, because that's not what I'm saying. I don't know if I told this story up here or not, but I'm going to tell it again if I have, so you'll just have to bear with me. When we first moved up here, they had started Copper Creek. And one day after church, we were driving up through Copper Creek, and the main road going up through there had a few houses on either side of it, maybe another road or two had houses, but there wasn't anything there that like there is now. But as we were going up through the road there was an open house and one of the houses, and Shirley said, how much do you suppose that house is worth? And I said, I don't know, $180,000. I don't know. $180,000. Okay? Sounds good. So we went on up there, and as you go, it kind of goes up a hill and down a hill and then back around a curve. And as you go around that curve, there's some really nice houses on this side. Well, how much are those worth? I don't know. $280,000. I don't know. So we got up to the end of it. We turned around and came back and we went into this open house. That house was worth $280,000. And I asked the realtor, I said, well, how much are those houses up the street there on the corner? He said, oh, they're around $500,000. The thing I remember about this little incident is that as we backed out of the driveway, right around the corner to this house that we had just gone through was another house just about exactly like it, kind of around the corner behind it. And the garage door opened, and this young man came out that couldn't have been 30 years old, and he had two little toddlers toddling down the driveway behind him, before preschool kids. In the garage was a Honda Accord late model and a Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. And I know it was a Limited because it had gold letters on it. That's the higher price model. But he got his newspaper out of his mailbox thing. And Shirley and I both looked at each other and said, how in the world can a young family like that afford that house and those vehicles? Now, I don't know. Maybe the guy was a doctor, you know. Maybe he was a lawyer. Maybe he and his wife were both professionals and had really good incomes. Maybe he was in debt clear up to his eyeballs. You've seen the commercial on TV. The guy says, what does he say? I'm so far in debt that I can't even breathe or something. I don't know. But I think in this particular instance, I don't know that the devil's not succeeding. I don't know. This goes on to say, keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressure of their work. As their families fragment. 50 years ago when I was a kid, we sat around the supper table every night, our family. When our kids were small, we didn't do that as much. We were busier. I don't think probably that happens much anymore. I don't know. Our kids are long gone, out of the home, have families of their own. But my guess would be, and I could be wrong, my guess would be that not very many families sit around the dining table for supper anymore. Or dinner, or whatever you call it. I had a lady, a friend, our son had a really good friend in Bedford. And this son's mother told me one time, we have to keep these kids involved in sports and school activities so they don't get involved in drugs and alcohol. I'm not saying that's wrong. But all you kids that are in school out here, I want you to listen to this. I want you all to be paying attention. If your mind's wandering, bring it back. I'm not saying that your education isn't important. And I'm not saying that goals such as being valedictorian of your class are not attainable. College, I'm not saying college shouldn't be attainable. I'm not saying that they're not admirable goals. To get to college, you need extracurricular activities. I remember when Shannon was applying for college, they not only looked at her grades, they looked at what other things she was involved in. And no doubt, these things are better than drugs and alcohol. But what I want you to keep in your mind at all times is that you're here to serve God. The number one most important thing in your life is to serve God, do His will, and get to heaven. Popularity, straight A's, college, a good job, they're attainable goals. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be an example. You need to work at getting good grades. You have responsibilities, just as adults do. But they should not come at the expense of your salvation. Your number one priority on this earth is to serve God and attain heaven. Because someday you're going to look up and you're going to think, how in the world did I get to be this old? How in the world did my kids get to be this old? Shirley just got back from Jamesport, Missouri. She took and this isn't even our oldest daughter. This is our next oldest daughter. And she just had a birthday Friday that ended in a zero. And you can guess what the other digit is. I won't say. I don't think she'd mind, but she's not getting any younger either. But I cannot believe that she's that old. I married her mother 31 years ago. Most of you know the story. And she's not even the oldest. How in the world did my kids get to be that old? And then you'll realize, after you stop and think about that, you'll realize how short life is. There can't possibly be enough time go by for the things that have happened to have happened. you will realize how short life is. And then when you realize how short life is, you'll start to think about how long eternity is. And I know those of you who are 16, 17, 18 years old are thinking, wow, 60 years old, that's so far down the road. Well, let me tell you, it's not. Always keep in mind, as a Christian, young man or woman, what your priority is. And that goes for all of us too, not just the kids. The number one priority. This goes on to say, let's overstimulate their minds. Overstimulate their minds so they can't hear the Word of God. Is your mind overstimulated? Do you have things that you think about? Does your mind wonder when you're in church? Does your mind wonder, are you able to focus on the matter at hand, or do other thoughts creep into your mind? Is your mind, I think our minds all wonder. But I think there are things that creep into our mind that don't allow us to focus on the matter at hand. Right now, we're in a worship service to God. We're to be focused on worshiping God. We're to be focused when the Lord's table is being done. We're to focus on Christ's death on the cross. Are your minds overstimulated to the point that other thoughts creep in, worldly thoughts, things you have to do, things that haven't been done? Entice them to play the radio or cassette player wherever they drive or wherever they are. Keep the TV, VCR, CDs, and PCs going constantly in their home, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music. Keep the TV going constantly. The TV. And I've said before that I could rail on the entertainment industry. I think they degrade our morals and ethics as much as any single thing in the country, probably. Maybe you could think of other things that are worse, I don't know, but I'm not all that big a fan of the entertainment industry. How many of you have said there's not much fit to watch anymore? Have you ever said that? There's not much fit on TV to watch anymore. Shirley got back late last night from our daughter's, and it was a woman thing. That's why I didn't go. Don't think I was shirking my parental duties. But I was flipping through the channels waiting for her to get home, and the old Andy Griffith Show was on. How things have changed. How things have changed. But as you say, there's nothing fit to watch on television. Are you watching more of it all the time? I think that's a problem with the older you get. Have to watch that. How many kids idolize the Britney Spears and the Paris Hiltons of our society? And what kind of a role model are they? It says, keep the PCs going. On top of TV, now we have computers. Not only personal computers sitting on your desk at home, but handheld computers and computers on telephones. So that we can talk, we can text message, we can get on the internet, we can do banking, all on your phone. I don't know how to do that. Probably never will, because I don't think I'm smart enough to learn how. I think all that technology has passed me by. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But I remember Bruce was talking about, in his driver's ed class, some kids sitting in the back were text messaging. They were giggling and having a good time. They were text messaging back and forth. It's amazing. I'm not saying the computers are bad in and of themselves, because they have their good points. Some of that came from a computer. We can email between the brethren quickly. You can find churches wherever you're traveling quickly. You can travel very well. MapQuest is a really wonderful thing. I'm amazed at MapQuest. You can get a route right to where you want to go. I have the Bible online. I have Bible software at home. I'm not very good at using it. Probably won't be. but I've got it. But you got to watch the bad things. And I'm not talking about just bad websites or immoral websites or anything about that like that. I'm talking about also things like FreeCell. Any of you play FreeCell on the computer every now and then? Pretty hard, pretty easy to get involved in that and then look up sometime later. You need to watch those things. This says non-biblical music. Tom Woody from the pulpit one time made a statement that a Christian should listen to gospel music, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not that it's probably bad to listen to other things. I pretty much listen to gospel music anymore. And there's some really, if you haven't checked out a lot of the gospel music, there's some really neat stuff out there. You know, there's some stuff that's as good to listen to as any of the contemporary stuff, I think. But if you haven't checked out the gospel music availability, what's available, check it out, because there really is some neat stuff out there. It says, these things will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. How many belong to ARP? AARP. Do you belong to ARP? You get their magazine and their bulletin. Do you read them? I've got them all sitting under the coffee table. I don't even know why I belong to ARP other than I'm over 50. I don't use the card. I don't get the discounts. I suppose I should. I suppose that's not being good steward of my money, I guess. I don't know. But I've got all these magazines and all these bulletins, and I haven't even read half of them. Fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. How long can you spend reading a newspaper? Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. TNN, Fox News, C-SPAN, C-SPAN 2. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering free products, services, and false hopes. How many of you remember, was it the Reader's Digest thing that the people were suing because the old people read the letter that said, you have won? And in the bottom it said, if you have the winning number and return it. Although they didn't see that. So they thought they'd won, and they spent money they didn't have. False hopes. However, I do want to assure you that Publishers Clearinghouse has all but assured me that I am going to win $5,000 a week for life. Because I have passed through two of the three hurdles. I am now in the third and final stage, and I am a member of the highest standing. How many of you have gotten that? False hope. Be nice. Maybe. I read an article one time about lottery winners. 7 out of 10 of them wish they'd never won it. It was in the Des Moines paper. They'd lost friends. They'd had to move from town. You know, they had to change their name. They had to, they were harassed, hounded. I don't know. I think we have to be aware of all those kinds of things that take up our time. It says, keep them too busy to go out into nature and reflect on God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead of biblical things. Romans 1, 19 and 20. I always go back. That's become one of my favorite verses. Mainly because I have an obsession with proving the validity and the truth of the Bible. And if you look up the meaning of the word obsession, it's not pretty. So, maybe I ought to watch that too. I don't know. Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For by the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Talking about men who knew the truth but shunned it. They held the truth in unrighteousness. It says they ought to be able to look around them at the creation and see that there's a God. And what Psalms 19 and 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the what? Showeth his handiwork. Keep them busy, busy, busy. If I had a title for this talk, it'd be Busy, Busy, Busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences. Galatians 6 and 10 says, do good unto all, especially what? Those who are of the household of faith. Crowd their lives with so many good causes that they don't have time to seek Jesus. Soon they'll be working on their own strength, sacrificing their health and their family for the good of the cause. It will work. The demons eagerly went to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busy and more busier and more rushed, going here and there, having little time for God or their families. Having no time to serve Jesus or tell others about the power of Jesus and to change their lives. Here's the question. Is he successful? Has he been successful? Are you too busy? Do you worry about more about things of the earth than serving God? Do you even realize that's what you're doing? Has it become so ingrained that you do it without even realizing it? Is it so automatic that it's like a reflex? Do you put worldly things before God and not realize it? Are you too busy? B-U-S-Y, busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. I thought that was kind of good too. Busy. When we become too busy with the world to put the kingdom of God first, then we're under Satan's yoke. This story says to detract them from maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. Daily. Every single day. And I'm not saying that we should neglect worldly duties. I'm not saying that at all. We have to work, right? We have to eat. Don't the scriptures say, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that thing which is good to have to give to him who needeth? And does the scriptures not say that if any would not work, neither should he eat? Doesn't the scripture say that you have to deal with the world? What does the scripture say if you don't want to deal with worldly men? What does it say? You have to get out of the world. That's right. Can't hardly do that, can we? Well, you could. I don't think I'd want to face the consequences of taking myself out of the world. But if you're a Christian, I don't think you'd do that. If you don't want to deal with the world, you have to go out of it. We have to deal with the world. We have to be a good example, don't we? Don't the scriptures tell us we're supposed to be a good example to those without? We're not supposed to murmur, dispute, things like that. Not to take each other to court, things like that. What I want you to consider this morning is the ultimate importance, the premier importance, the astronomical importance, whatever description of importance you want to make, of preparing yourself for eternity. That's why we're on earth. To serve God, to do His will, to obtain salvation. How would you like to be written down in history as the one who discovered a cure for cancer? Or any other incurable disease. I always thought that'd be kind of neat. You know, have my name in the history books for some fabulous thing? Wouldn't that be kind of good? But not at the expense of my eternal salvation. We have to look to eternity, because that is what matters. The first story I read said all that mattered. All that mattered matters no more. For Christ will come. I think when it says all that mattered, I don't think it means every single thing on this earth, but I think it means things of the world. Because when Christ comes, what's going to matter no more? The things of the world. They will matter no more. They are all that mattered. Cody said we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Does that mean you should rush home, stick your nose in the Bible, and spend all afternoon there? Not necessarily. Might not be a bad thing. Might not be a bad thing to do. But I think we should realize that we are to prepare ourselves for eternity. I'm going to leave you Psalms 1, 1 and 2. I've kind of come to like that, those verses too. The kids on Sunday night have used that as their memory verse. And not being able to memorize every verse in the Bible, I hadn't really paid very much attention to it, I guess. But after hearing that memory verse so many times, I've come to kind of like it. And these two verses say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God knows what's in your mind and in your heart. God knows if you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. This is our law. Right here. This is what we are to meditate on day and night. We are preparing for eternity. And for those of you who think this life on earth is pretty long, wait till eternity hits you. Because if you're preparing for empty things of this life, all you got to look forward to is death, and that's what it'll be. Eternal death. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We'll offer the gospel invitation. That's the first step toward becoming a member of the church, toward becoming a member of the Lord's body, and that is to be baptized. Mark 16 and 16 says, He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we'll offer that opportunity. If you feel the need to become a member of the church, or if you feel the need to address anything else before the congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.